My gods, I push him back. What's that saying you have in your lands? Rowan tilts his head. Don't chop it till you try it. Next time I'll let you drown. He laughs as he pulls me in, resting his hand on the small of my back. The smile falls away as the end of this war looms between us.
I heard about your plan to save the world, he says. When do you leave?
In a few hours.
Okay.
He nods.
I'll be ready.
No, I pull away. You need to heal. Rowan clenches his teeth, grabbing his shoulder as he rises to his feet. Rowan,
I'm going.
His metal fingers twitch, still out of line with his intent.
The soul, you are my home. You don't get to leave me behind.
Chapter 83. Amari. I will be a better queen. My last words to father return. A vow for the person I once was. A mockery of everything I've become. I don't know if father would be horrified by the actions I've taken, or if the depths of my descent would make him proud. I am no better than him. If anything, we are one and the same.
Strike, Amari!
I pull at my hair, wishing I could pull his claws out of me as well. His whispers are like the bars Kamaru crafted from stone, a prison I can't escape. For so long he was the scar on my back, the tyrant I had to vanquish. How in the skies did I allow his ghost to become my guiding force? I grit my teeth against the sting of bile that shoots up my throat. Though nothing sits in my stomach, it all comes up at once. I feel every ounce of pain, every shriveled up corpse. Despite everything I want, I'm just another monarch, terrorizing this kingdom. I'm the very monster I hunt.
At least you finally look sorry.
I snap my head up. Zaylee stands on the other side of the stone bars. The mountain ledges cast half her face in shadow, but a light seems to shine from within. You're all right. I prop my hands up, but she's so much more than that. It's like a new fire burns in her heart. My skin almost prickles from the heat of its blaze.
If you had known I was alive in the village, would you still have launched that attack? She asks.
I shrink into myself. The truth carves out the last pieces of dignity I have. To win this war? I close my eyes. Yes. I put my hand to my mouth, not knowing if vomit or screams will come out. There's no excuse for what I did. I know you could never forgive me. Facing her now is like a sledgehammer to the heart. It forces me to face the reality I've fought so hard to hide. I am the child of King Saran, the daughter of Queen Nahanda. I was raised to win at all cost, no matter who gets hurt in the process.
We brought them back. Zaylee crosses her arms. You don't deserve to know, but every person you killed breathes again.
What? I shake my head, unsure if I actually heard her. They're alive?
Each and every one.
I stumble as the world falls out from under me again. Relief rips through the last parts of me that were still whole. I can't believe my ears. I can't stop the tears that fall. How?
We use the magic of the Moonstone to connect. With our combined power, Kani healed their bodies. I brought them back to life again.
She looks at the golden tattoos on her skin, seeing something I can't.
We're going to use it to attack Lagos and bring down the crown.
I rise,
though my legs feel like water. You'll be slaughtered. Not after we all connect. We're going to end this war and destroy the monarchy once and for all. Even Nehanda won't be able to stop us.
Strike, Amari.
Father's words shrivel in my chest. I don't know what to say, what I should feel. The throne is where this all started. Perhaps it's where this all ends. But the thought of the crown becoming nothing. You'll throw Orisha into chaos. I shake my head. The agony you'll cause.
Anguish and anarchy are far better than the tyranny we've known, Zeli says. The future of Orisha will no longer be corrupted by a crown.
She frowns, and I see the pity in her gaze. She thinks that's what happened to me. I will be a better queen. I release the vow I can never fulfill. I've gone beyond losing this war. I've completely lost the right to lead. When do you leave? I ask.
Tonight.
After you connect? Zeli's mouth falls open, but no words escape. The purpose of her visit becomes clear. You need a sacrifice. She rubs her arms and looks away, staring over the mountain's edge. The wind whistles in her silence, giving me the answer I seek. It feels like the entire mountain comes down on me at once. Terror grips my chest. I struggle to draw breath. But in my punishment lies a certain release, a chance I thought I wouldn't have. If I do this, I can make things right. I can give them the power they need to save the kingdom. All right. Zeli whips around, shock in her silver gaze.
I haven't made a decision.
You don't need to. I'll do it. Speaking the words makes my heart lurch. My hands start to shake. But how else can I make up for all the pain I've caused?
No.
Zeli shakes her head. What other choice do you have? I ask. It has to be someone. Someone you love. Though she keeps her face hard, her lips twitch with the emotion she fights back. It almost hurts more to know there's a part of her that still cares about me after everything I've done. Zeli, please, I grab the bars. Let me make one thing right.
I can't do that.
You should not have to.
A second voice speaks. We look up as a distant thud comes near, the steady rhythm of wood hitting stone. My jaw drops when a cloaked figure emerges from the shadows, resting both hands on her cane. Mama Agba. The seer looks between the two of us, sadness radiating from her heart.
It is not your time, my child. Take me instead.
Chapter 84. Zeli. Any relief the sight of Mama Agba could bring quickly turns to despair. No.
This is not up for debate.
Mama Agba shakes her head.
Far too many children have perished in this fight.
I said no. I turn around. I'll find a way. I just need time.
You do not have time.
Mama Agba grabs my shoulder, forcing me to face her.
Nehanda has already declared the end of the war. The Magi she captured have mere days before execution.
Mama Agba,
Tio ba painu rema.
She raises her cane above my head.
Shut up and listen.
I flinch out of instinct, waiting for the smack of her staff. Mama Agba's nostrils flare as she sets it back down, using it to walk toward me. But when she nears, I can't meet her eyes. My throat burns with everything I wish I hadn't said.
Look at me.
She lays her wrinkled hand on my cheek.
Zaylee, look at me. You are my heart. There is nothing you could do in this world that I would not forgive.
She wraps her arms around me, enveloping me in the smell of sweetened tea. More tears fall as I breathe it in, savoring the scent of her love. I won't let you do this.
You have no choice, she says. Our people need you.
They need you more. I squeeze the folds of her robes, thinking of all she built, all she saved. The Magi would have died 10 times over if it weren't for every effort she made. My entire family would have perished. Mama Agba takes my hand in her own, quieting my objections with her touch. She doesn't speak as she leads me down the winding path away from Amari's cell. She stares at the clouds that pass over the mountain's ledge.
Do you remember when I told you about my Ishipaya? She asks. When I ascended years ago, I saw myself kneeling on a mountaintop. Sky Mother welcomed me with open arms.
She turns to me, mahogany eyes shining.
At the time, I thought I was peeking into the beyond. Now I see my vision was of you all along.
She kisses my forehead, using her robes to wipe my tears. She holds me as I sob, fighting the sacrifice she tries to make. I can't. My voice cracks. I can't do this alone.
You do not have to do this by yourself. You carry all of us in your heart.
She takes my hand and lays it over my chest, lacing our fingers together.
We shall live in every breath you take, every incantation you speak.
A smile spreads across her dark skin, crinkling the skin around her eyes.
You are the children of the gods. You shall never be alone.
When I reach the mountaintop, it's so quiet my footsteps echo like thunder. The 10 Magi stand in a circle. Amari watches from behind Zane, her arms still bound in metal restraints. The elders bow as they step back, creating a single path. Their bodies align to form a perfect circle. All that's missing is its center. You can do this. I dig my nails into my palms as I walk forward. Pointed pillars close around us like a fence, circling the flat mountaintop. Beyond the red stone, the setting sun paints the sky in vibrant reds and burning oranges. It brings me back to the days when Mama walked this very path, preparing to lead the reapers of Ibadan.
You carry all of us in your heart. We shall live in every breath you take, every incantation you speak.
Mama Agba's promise swells inside me as I remember how the sunlight would shine through my mother's coils. Today, it runs through my own, bathing my white hair in gold. I hold my breath as I step into the center of the circle. Ahead of me, Dakarai moves to bring Mama Agba in, his round face somber. Pressure builds in my chest as her cane smacks against the hard stone, but every wall I have falls the moment I face her. It's impossible to fight my tears. Mama Agba glides forward in a shining suit of armor, silver collar gleaming around her neck. Her silk cloak moves like clouds in the wind. Kamaru has even fashioned her a glistening cane. Her white coils sit like a crown on her head. She's never looked more beautiful. Nana, Naima sings,
under her breath, starting Sky Mother's song. Her voice rings in our silence, a melody to accompany our grief. When the others join in, Mama Agba closes her eyes and rests her hands over her heart. She takes everything in before turning to Dakarai.
My elder.
Mama Agba addresses him, wiping the tears that streak his russet-toned skin.
You are the dream of our people. Never doubt what you can achieve. Trust the things you see.
Dakarai nods and wipes the snot from his nose. Mama Agba kisses his forehead and holds him tight before letting go. I expect her to make her way forward, but she walks to Kamaru. She stops in front of each person in the circle, passing on words of wisdom. Even in her final moments, she guides us forward, a seer until the end.
My brave boy,
Mama Agba wiggles Zane's ear.
You have grown into an even braver man.
She makes Zane laugh through his pain. He wipes his eyes and grabs her hand.
Thank you for everything.
She pulls him close, rubbing her hand up and down his back.
Take care of them, but do not forget to take care of yourself.
Please don't do this. Amari's voice cracks with tears. She hangs her head when Mama Agba steps in front of her, metal restraints still clinking around her wrists.
You are not your mistakes.
Mama Agba holds both of her shoulders, making Amari cry harder.
Do not let one moment define or destroy you. The gods work in mysterious ways. Have faith in their greater plan.
When Amari nods, Mama Agba kisses her cheek. I try to prepare myself, but I can't when she turns toward me. A smile ignites her dark skin, bright like the sunset at her back. She walks with an unbreakable purpose, ready though I'll never be.
My little warrior.
Her eyes well for the first time. She raises my chin and squares my shoulders.
Not so little anymore.
Mama Agba. I try to speak, but I can't find the words. No matter how many times I tell myself I can do this, I'm not ready to rip my heart in half.
Remember what I said.
She wipes my tears and places her hand on my chest.
Every breath, every chant, you fight with the heart of your father, the spirit of your mother. When this is over, you will fight with me as well.
She kisses my forehead, squeezing my hand tight. I hold her in my arms, doing everything I can to soak in her embrace. I try to memorize every wrinkle in her face. To inhale the scent of shea butter in her coils. When I can hold her no longer, she bows her head and kneels. My own hand shakes as I grab hers and remove my dagger.
Go ahead.
I bring the blade across her palm, creating a thin line of blood. It drips down her hand, glowing white as it falls. She exhales when I draw the sacred mark along her forehead with my thumb. I put her hand on my sternum as I whisper the command.
Etona Agbarayin.
The tattoos on my back start to glow as the blood magic takes hold. Mama Agba gasps when the first drop of her blood falls to the ground. It sinks into the stone, sizzling with smoke. White light spreads from our center, cracking through the mountaintop like a spider web. When it hits the Magi around me, 10 disparate heartbeats fill my head. Ba-bump, ba-bump. Each claps like thunder. Their pulses summon the storm. Howling winds swirl around us as white particles of light form in front of each chest, every life force being called forward. They hang like fireflies in the night, glowing brighter with my chant. Tethers form as they blend together, reaching toward my center. Itona Agbarain. My tattoos glow brighter than they ever have as the particles condense. Magic weaves itself together like threads in a tapestry. My body strains as they hit my chest. The force lifts me into the air and Mama Agba follows, rising above the stone. Her hands fall limp as her chest rises. The wind blows through her silk cloak.
Etona Agbarain!
It hurts to speak the words. Blood magic spreads inside Mama Agba, glowing through every vein. It shines brightest when it reaches her heart. My chest aches as it breaks her apart. Her complexion darkens, turning deeper than the night. Particles of light shine through her armor and silks, glowing like stars woven into her skin. With her rise, the spaces between the different hearts draw to a close. Beat by beat, each pulse slows. They fall into sync with a sacred rhythm as the ancient command leaves my mouth. Etona Agbarain. With the final chant, the shine around Mama Agba becomes too bright. She lights up the night like a comet flying through the sky. I don't feel the moment my feet touch back to the ground. My chest thunders with the force of a storm. Each pulse is like lightning in my blood. The power of 10 hearts beating as one. I press my hand to my chest and look up, somehow feeling the pulse of Mama Agba's love. Though tears fall from my eyes, the sensation makes me smile.
Titidi Odikeji,
I whisper the sacrament under my breath. I grab her fallen cane. I won't let you down. Chapter 85. Inan.
I thought that when the time came, I would be riddled with doubt, crippled by the pain in my gut. But as I stare at my reflection in Father's mirror, it's like every weight has been lifted off my shoulders. For so long, I've struggled to do the right thing. Tonight, I leave my mark as king.
Knock, knock!
Mother appears in the door. A vision in a gown tailored from gold. The rich fabric glitters with embroidered crystals and shimmering pearls. A giant gele catches the light on her head. From the flush along her cheeks, I can tell she's already had her fair share of red wine. You look beautiful, mother. She lifts her chin, swishing the flowing cape draped across her shoulders.
Have you finally come to your senses?
I understand, I nod. You've only done what you thought was right. Mother's mask of calm falls and her shoulders relax. In her amber eyes, I see the woman I love. It almost hurts more when she pulls me into a hug, holding me close.
I know you don't agree with my methods, but I hope one day you will understand that everything I have done has been for you. By dawn, all your enemies will be gone. Nothing will get in the way of your reign over this great kingdom ever again.
I pet her back, inhaling her rose water scent. Conviction radiates through her words. It always does. I understand, Mother. She pulls back and dabs her eye, drying any tears before they can fall. She reaches for the pitcher on Father's dresser and pours red wine into the crystal flutes before handing one to me.
The toast we should have had.
She raises her glass in the air.
To securing the kingdom.
To securing the kingdom.
Our glasses clink, and Mother is quick to take a generous sip. She knocks back half the flute before directing her attention to my attire. You look handsome in navy, but we need to match tonight. She points her finger. The gold Akbara should be in your closet. Efia tailored it herself.
I appreciate your guidance, Mother. But it doesn't matter what I wear.
I set down my flute and meet her eyes.
This is it. I'm dissolving the monarchy tonight.
Mother releases a high-pitched laugh, resting her pointed fingers over her heart. Have you had too much wine?
I shake my head. I've just had enough.
Her fingers fly to her lips, but they do little to suppress her raucous laugh. She sighs and shakes her head.
Just when I thought you'd matured.
I have matured. I close the distance between us. I see the truth now. We pretend that magic is the root of our pain when everything rotten in this kingdom begins and ends with us. There's no helping it. I clench my fist. Amari proved that in Ibadan. This throne corrupts even the purest of hearts. As long as it exists, people will continue to tear this kingdom apart.
I don't have time for your nonsense. Mother drinks the rest of her wine before setting down her flute. You're still upset about Ojore. Stay here and sulk, like the child you are.
She turns to the door, but her knees buckle the moment she tries to walk. She blinks as she stumbles forward, bracing herself against the wall.
What's going on?
She asks, her words starting to slur. I close the space between us, guiding her back to Father's bed. I worried you'd recognize your own sedatives, I say, lifting up one of her emerald vials. Mother stares at her empty flute. My own is still filled to the brim. I see the moment she realizes her mistake.
You rotten little...
Her words slur together, and her muscles spasm as she fights the concoction. The ground quakes, but only small tremors answer her call. They grow weaker and weaker until she can't summon her magic at all. I straighten my collar as she fights to stay conscious. Even as her face falls slack, her lips curl into a snarl. I hope you enjoyed the gala, Mother. I called back to her as I walk out the door. It'll be your last.
Chapter 86. Zeli. No one speaks as we make our way down Orisha's coast, sailing on a boat powered by Nao's magic. There's no need when every heartbeat pulses through our throats. The ocean spray coats our skin as the salt-filled air whips around us. A new magic roars through our blood, ready to tear through Lagos's impenetrable walls. Every beat, every chant. I hold on to Mama Agba's words as the tides of my old home draw near. With their melody, I'm back on Baba's boat, drawing out the fishing net. I think of him as I turn to the others, not wanting to see the ruins of Ilorin. After tonight, our kingdom will never be the same. We're close. I turn to the others. We can hide out on these shores until sunset. Then we'll strike, I think to myself. We'll save our people and make the monarchy pay for all the pain they've caused. I picture Mari and Bimpe trapped with our army in the palace cellars, the rest of the Iyika waiting for their execution. I think of all those who stand in our way, every Titan who will have to die. Get some rest, I continue. Prepare yourselves. There's no telling what will happen when we take that palace down.
Zeal,
Zane calls, forcing me to turn to him. His arms hang limp, my brows knit, and I follow his line of sight. I walk to the front of our boat, not believing my eyes. In the distance, a single Ahere stands above the tides. Confusion mounts as Nau redirects us from the shore, bringing us closer to the site. The memories of Ilorin burning moons ago clouds my mind. I can still remember the way the scent of ash choked my throat. The entire village sunk to the bottom of the sea. I collapsed with my home. Yet somehow, my hut still stands above the crashing waves, untouched by all that's followed since the day I was forced to leave it behind. When we reach the Reed Ahere, the elders wait as Zane and I climb. It's like a dream or a nightmare. My old home sits on wooden planks, a single safe haven above the sea. There's no sign of the fire that burned it to the ground, no sign of everything else that was lost. But staring at the home we shared with Baba is like finding a missing part of me. I hold Zane's arm as we walk toward it, waiting for the illusion to shatter. It doesn't make sense. Outside our Ahere, it's like the fires never happened. Zane drags his fingers against the doorframe, and I find the lines Baba drew above the two of us. Each moon, a new crooked line marked our changing heights. I always cried when my line couldn't beat Zane's. I don't understand. My breath hitches as I walk through the doorway. The reed walls curve around me, reeds just like the ones Baba and I wove together with love. It's all here. The cotton cuts, the agbong ball that sat in the corner, even a black calla lily hangs in the window. The petals pass like velvet between my fingers, stems freshly cut. The only break from my memories is the parcel wrapped in parchment that lies on my cot. A folded note sits on top. I'm sorry. It's like I'm drowning again. A gaping hole opens in my chest as the words Inan spoke to me moons ago return. When this is over, I'll rebuild Ilorin, he said. It'll be the first thing I do. Inan promised to bring back my home. I never thought he'd keep his word. My throat grows tight as I unravel the parcel's strings. I don't know what to make of the dozens of letters that fall to the ground. Why? The question rings through my mind as they spill across the floor. I reach down to pick one up, bracing myself for the words written inside. There are nights when you visit my dreams, nights where I can forget. When I wake, I drive myself insane thinking of what could have been. My throat closes up, and I throw the letter to the ground. Walk away, I command myself, but another lures me in. All this time I thought I was choosing my kingdom over my heart. I was naive, too blind to realize that you are both. Tears drop onto the parchment, bleeding into its ink. How dare he try to crawl back into my heart after all the pain he's caused me? I slap the letters away, wishing Kenyon were here to burn them to ash. But when one letter clinks against the ground, I lift my head. I open up the parchment and a bronze piece falls into my hands. I tilt my head as I lift it by its silver chain. Then I remember the piece I gave him. What's this? He asked. Something you can hold on to without killing yourself.
I placed the cheap metal in his hands. He kept it all this time. My tears continue to fall as I unfold the parchment.
I know this might end up at the bottom of the ocean, but as long as there's a chance, I have to write it. I have to try to make things right. I could apologize until the end of time, and it still wouldn't be enough. But I'm sorry for hurting you. I'm sorry for all the pain I've caused. It's clear to me now that the plague of Orisha has never been magic at all. It's us, father, mother, and me. Even Amari has been twisted by this throne. The monarchy poisons us all. As long as it stands, Orisha doesn't have a chance. So I'm doing the only thing I can and ending it once and for all.
I grip the parchment so tight it nearly rips in half. I didn't even know ending the monarchy was something a king could do.
I don't know what comes next, but I know it's time for this reign to end. I will work till my dying breath to protect this kingdom, to be the man I thought I could be when I was with you. But should our paths collide again, I will not raise my sword. I am ready to end my life at your hand.
What is it?
Zane stands behind me. I wipe away my tears, handing him the letter. His eyes widen as he combs over the words.
He did all this?
I nod.
And Zane rubs his jaw. You two, he shakes his head. Even when you crash, you intertwine.
I stare at the bronze piece in my hand, wanting to throw it into the ocean. I hate Inan for doing this. I hate the part of me that wants to believe he's telling the truth.
What are you going to do?
What I have to, I shrug. It doesn't matter what he says, what he promises. Our people are still behind those walls. I have to do whatever it takes to get them out. A silence hangs in the air, and I grab his hand, staring at all the parchment on the ground. What are you going to do about you and Amari? Zane's face twists as he winces. He holds back his tears, but I feel their sting behind my own eyes. Throughout all the pain we've endured, she's been the only one to make him smile. Even when I resented her to my core, I loved Amari for that.
There is no me and Amari, he finally speaks. Not anymore.
Zane, how you feel about her? That's not something you can just turn off.
She almost killed you,
he interrupts.
There's no coming back from that.
He sinks onto the replica of his old cot, and I sit by his side. I squeeze the bronze piece in my hand as I lean my head against his shoulder, listening to the crash of waves outside our window.
Next time, let's fall for a pair of siblings that don't come with a crown.
Chapter 87. Zaylee. Wind whips at my hair as we stand on the hilltop overlooking Lagos. Storm clouds thunder above, releasing a pelting rain. Lanterns bathe the capital in an orange glow. Specks of light twinkle from door to door. The palace shines brightest of all, safe behind the city's massive walls.
Are you ready?
Zane nudges me, and I nod as I take Lagos's strongest defense in. The silver barrier around the city towers 30 meters into the air, nearly twice the height of any tree in the surrounding forest. But titans and centers be damned. We shall not lose tonight. We carry the might of the gods. I feel it with every beat of my heart, every chant waiting on my lips. There's no stopping us now. We've brought the war to them. I turn back to Amari, still bound in metal restraints.
She stares at the ground at a safe distance behind us, not even moving when I motion for Kamaru to release her binds. Rowan stands by her side and we exchange a nod. I look back at Lagos's walls, bracing myself for what's to come.
"For Mama Akbar," I call. "Mazeli."
"Baba and Mama," Zane joins in.
"Zuleika and Kwame,"
Folake whispers. We speak the fallen one by one, naming everyone the monarchy's taken from us.
"Fight for them all." I walk forward, tattoos igniting on my skin. Their purple glow flickers around my hands like a blaze, covering my body in twisting light.
I close my eyes as it spreads over us all, concentrating on the sound of our 12 hearts beating as one. Time holds its breath as our magic bleeds together. Then I whisper the command.
"Itona Agbarain."
The pulse of energy that explodes makes the ground beneath us crack. Gravel and dirt float around our feet. Bark splits in the surrounding trees. The world moves in slow motion, illuminated by the rainbow of colors flooding from our eyes and mouths. The power of the gods burns through our beings as we march down the hill. Kamaru and Kenyon step forward, powerful ashes glowing around their forms. An emerald light shines through the grounder's skin as a red one burns through our burners. Together they shove their hands into the ground and the earth vibrates at our feet. With a clench of Kamaru's fist, the entire ground lifts. Kenyon follows, creating a wave of lava that spreads through the land. Magicite mines explode, one after the other, mushrooming in clouds of black. The lava Kamaru and Kenyon create churns through the earth. Black plumes of smoke shoot into the sky.
"Defenses ready!"
Alarms blare at our attack. The first wave of Titans charge as the Magicite flies. But before the soldiers and gas can strike, Jahi and Imani lift their hands. The air howls at our window's command as the cancer transforms the Magicite before our eyes. The black clouds turn orange. The sweat on my skin chills as a violent gust curves around our backs, so powerful the trees snap in half. The golden soldiers fly back into the wall as the transformed poison blows into them. Blood shoots from their mouths and their skin turns black like the villagers in Ibadan.
"Don't let them through!"
a Titan screams. Iron groans as muzzles take aim. Cannons light like fireworks along the wall. Bombs explode in our path. The soldiers throw everything they have, but it isn't enough to slow us down. Kamaru stops each cannonball with a wave of his hand. For every explosive Jahi blows away, Kenyon sends a firebomb back. We break through every defense until there's only one left, the soldiers themselves. The Legion of Titans run forward in droves, all glimmering in their golden armor. Dozens charge from every point across the wall, magic blazing in their hands. But with the power of the Moonstone, I can feel their spirits like the falling rain. I stretch out my fingers and close my eyes, reaching for the life running through their veins.
"Gansibe!"
When I raise my hand, every Titan freezes in place. They seize as I close my fist, ripping their spirits from their flesh. A smile spreads across my lips as they fall into the dirt. Nothing stands in our way when we come face to face with the wall. Chapter 88. Inan. As I stand on the dais in the throne room, my hands shake with the weight of what I'm about to do. With Mother subdued, the hardest battle is won. All that's left are the people in this hall. Silver platters of food
fill long tables, glistening with roasted hen and moin moin pies. Red wine flows like water among the merry crowd. Nobles and officers spin on the polished marble tiles. Above, father's seals are gone, wiping the palace of the vicious snow leopener. In their place, navy banners shine, sporting an embroidered chitina that mother designed for my reign. Staring at the rider, I think of the bronze piece I no longer have. Mother desired an animal that was less commonplace. She didn't realize how soon these banners would fall. I take in the palace one last time, feeling the weight of history that hinges on this moment. After today, Orisha will never be the same. When the monarchy falls, chaos will sweep the lands. But there will be a chance. I close my eyes, a chance for something to rise from the ashes, a vision for Orisha that isn't corrupted by our past. Music dies down as I raise my hand and stand before the throne. I reach for all the strength I have as I address the crowd. "Thank you all for being here," I nod to the attendees. "This war has stolen so much from us. It's a joy to celebrate its end." "All hail King Inan!" a lieutenant shouts from the back. People smile and lift their goblets. Pressure builds in my chest as I motion for them to lower their cups. "These difficult times have brought equally difficult lessons. The end of this war gives us a chance to right our former wrongs, to confront Orisha's dark history, and make a lasting change. In searching for the best path forward, I was brought back to the legends many of us grew up without hearing. I'd like to share one of these legends with you now." My throat dries, and I swallow, wishing I had grabbed a goblet of wine. My fingers twitch around themselves, but there's nothing I can hold anymore. Nothing I can hide behind. "You can do this." I picture Zaylee's face in the crowd. I imagine Ojore at her side. For them, for Orisha, I can do anything. "In the beginning, there was nothing. Not until Sky Mother made it so. She gave birth to the gods above." I lift my hands. "The humans below. With the gift of life came her gift of magic, a power that allowed us to build this great kingdom. But in the beginning, the lands were governed by the clans. The people ruled over one another." I take a step back, running my hands over the sculpted throne. "We didn't have our first rulers until a group of magi abused their gifts. They lost their ability to do magic, but their actions established this monarchy." The mood in the hall starts to shift, a storm brewing beneath the gentle rain. Quiet whispers pass from mouth to mouth. I catch questions of mother's whereabouts. "You've been called here to celebrate a new era, and a new era it will be. The downfall of Orisha is linked to this throne. Countless people have paid its toll in blood." I raise my voice as the crowd starts to swell. "I intend to put the affairs of this kingdom in order. Then I'm ending this institution altogether." People rush toward the stage. Confused guards keep them at bay. "You can't do that," a noble shouts. "The maggots have messed with his head." "Please," I raise my hands. "I know you're scared, but in time you shall see this is what's best. With the proper support, we can build something better than the monarchy. An institution that serves all the great people of these lands." Boom! The rumble freezes us where we stand. It doesn't ring like an explosion. It roars like a lioner. Alarms blare as bursts of rainbow light flash in the distance, drawing closer by the second. It's then I see the hole in Lagos's wall. My eyes widen when the realization hits. The elders. They've come for the people we took. Run! I shout. Leave the palace now! The hall erupts in hysteria as people push against each other to escape. Goblets clank against the marble tiles. Tables crash to the ground as people run past. Get to safety! I yell. The Iyika are coming! Screams ring as the throne room windows shatter. Chapter 89. Amari. Broken glass sparkles like diamonds, glittering as it arcs through the air. Jahi's winds carry our fighters over the chaos, bringing us to the marble floors. It's like waking up in a dream to land in the walls of my own home. I can't see past the mess of bodies fleeing the throne room. Attack! Zeli's command releases the storm. With a roar, the Magi launch forward, unleashing their connected wrath. Imani levels a platoon with her rust-colored gas, now turns barrels of wine into battering rams. Kenyon's blaze rips through the painted ceiling, burning through the banners that hold Inan's seal. Magic tears through the throne room, destroying the beautiful cage. A pressure lifts from my chest when Kamaru shoots forward, ripping the golden throne in half. They're holding them in the cellars, Zeli calls back, pushing into the main hall. Nobles and guards get out of her way. Elders follow after her as she races toward the stairs. I sprint toward her to help, but then I feel the ground shake. Behind me, Mother nearly tumbles down the stairs, unsteady on her legs. Her cape rips off of her neck, spreading across the marble steps. No! She yells. Mother's shriek is like a prison cell closing me in. Looking at her, I see myself. The path she set me on. I think of all the blood she put on my hands. The look from Zane I'll never see again. She clutches the wall for support, muscles shaking beneath her ripped gown. Horror fills her face as she takes in the scene, but it turns to hatred the moment she spots me. You! She bares her teeth, pushing her weight back onto her trembling feet. I raise my hand to strike, but she wrenches a chunk of marble up from the ground and shoots it at me. My stomach clenches as the slab rams into my core. The impact knocks me into the wall, stealing the breath from my throat. I've barely hit the ground when Mother hobbles forward, punching a shaking fist up that glows with green. A pillar of earth crashes through the marble floors and hits me square in the chest. I wheeze as it collides, reaching for my lungs. The impact sends me flying across the marble floor. My head spins when I crash to the ground, rolling across the cracked tiles. My vision blurs as Mother closes in. I raise my hand before I can aim. Stop! I scream. The blue comet twists as it flies from my palm. Time seems to slow as it shoots through the air. Mother raises her arm to defend, but it gives her no protection. A smothered grunt escapes her lips the moment my magic hits her. Her amber eyes bulge. I push myself up from the ground, coughing up blood. Strike, Amari! I stumble toward her, rage washing over my pain. Father's voice echoes in my head, guiding me as I raise my hand. Fight, Amari! Magic burns as it builds in my palm, but then another voice fills my head. No. The simple word binds me in its grasp. It holds my magic hostage, forcing me to stand still. What are you waiting for? Powders and paints streak down Mother's face as she taunts me. But I drop my hand, blinking as I step back.
It's over. The realization catches me off guard.
I thought killing father was the answer. It only turned me into a monster.
You've lost, mother. The Magi are taking over. The monarchy's come to an end.
You spineless traitor!
Veins pulse against mother's neck as she fights to break my hold. Her words slur together as she yells,
You're nothing! You're not powerful enough to destroy the throne! You're wrong!
My shout echoes through the deserted hall. The portraits of old kings and queens stare me down. I look up at them, feeling the power in my blood.
If the past few moons have taught me anything, it's that I'm capable of great things. I know I can be better. I choose to be better.
I release my hand and mother's body falls to the ground. She wheezes as she hits the tiled floor.
You have never been great, she roars. You will never be great.
But as she shouts into the floor, I limp toward the cellar stairs. Each step I take feels lighter than the last. Chapter 90. Zaylee.
Help!
The muffled screams echo through the cellar. We sprint across its stone floors, thundering past curved arches and wide pillars. Cries swell through the underground labyrinth, guiding us deep into its winding tunnels. I search for the Iyika when I see Mari at the end of the hall.
Elder Zaylee!
My heart skips a beat when she presses her round face between a row of iron bars. Bimpe runs up behind her, both of them locked in a cell. I nearly trip over myself as I sprint to them. The Magi of our sanctuary lie in chains, screaming for our aid. Hundreds of bodies fill the cell, packed so tight I can't see through to the back.
Work quickly, I shout. Free them!
We surge forward, using our magic to rip through the chains. Kamaru disintegrates the links with one touch as Imani and Kani pull the Magi free. The moment Bimpe and Marie are released, I take them into my arms. I squeeze them tight as they sob, holding back my own tears of relief. It's okay, I soothe them. You're safe now. I'm sorry I ever let you get caught. But feet fly past our cell and down the hall, still in the air from my chest. The relief of saving my reapers fades when I turn to see Inan. His spirit pulls on me like an anchor, dragging me back to him. He sprints down the opposite hall, two soldiers at his heel. If I'm going to liberate Orisha from his tyranny, I must do it now. Follow Imani, I command. I'm going after the king. My heart thrashes against my ribcage as I sprint after Inan. Victory lies in our hands, but it won't be secure until he's gone. The words of his letters reverberate around me, growing louder the closer I get to him. I try to keep his poison from bleeding through my ears. There are nights when you visit my dreams. When it mattered the most, I let you down. All this time, I thought I was choosing my kingdom over my heart. I was too blind to realize that you were both.
Inan!
I shout when he sprints down another flight of stone steps. He stops in his tracks, tripping up the soldiers that run behind him.
Your Majesty, go!
Inan orders his guards. The soldiers look back and forth between us. But despite the way they hesitate, Inan urges them on.
This is between us, he tells them as he turns to face me. Get out while you still can.
With no other choice, the soldiers run off, disappearing into the shadows, their retreating footsteps quiet as they leave us alone.
Go ahead.
Inan's chest falls. He raises his hands in surrender.
I'm not going to fight you. Not anymore.
The vow in his letters hits me.
as I descend from the last step. Should our paths collide again, I will not raise my sword. I am ready to end my life at your hand.
He was telling the truth.
The thought made my fingers numb. Zane was right. Even when we crash, we intertwine. The bronze piece he left in my ahere burns at my neck as I force myself to walk toward him.
The treasuries are located in the catacombs beneath the royal gardens, he begins. When the madness ends, take Zane and someone you trust. Be mindful of how you distribute the wealth. And the military.
Inan stops himself, closing his eyes.
You already know you have to start over. But don't forget to clean out each fortress. Our Magicite is stockpiled there. Lone soldiers will try to use it against you.
What are you doing? I stop him. Why are you telling me this?
By tonight's end, everyone who knows those secrets will be dead. The only chance Orisha has is with you at the helm.
His words hang in our silence. He's so calm, as if he doesn't speak of his own death. I swallow as I approach him, pushing past the pain in my chest. He almost gives me a smile when we come face to face.
I'm glad.
His voice cracks.
I'm glad to see you again.
Don't speak. My fingers tremble as I raise my hand, placing it over his heart. His life force crackles like a fire, prickling against my fingertips. He tenses as I start to pull, ripping it away from him. Everything that's passed between us hits me as his life fades. I see the moment our paths first crossed in the marketplace, feel the shock it sent through my veins. The vibration of his blade against my staff, the roar of the waterfalls, the knife that carved through my back, the rush of his lips on my neck. I feel everything I don't want to let in, all the ways he entered my heart.
I'm sorry,
he chokes. I know, I whisper back. Though I fought for his death, this feels like I'm killing a piece of myself. Inan's breath stalls as I squeeze my hand. I close my eyes, unable to look as his heartbeat slows. Goodbye, I whisper. He chokes in response.
Zeli!
Rowan shouts. I whip around as he barrels down the stone steps. A mask hangs in his metal hand. He sprints from a moving wall of white. Confusion overwhelms me as Rowan throws the mask to me, his body falling the second the cloud engulfs him. I don't have a chance to put it on before the cloud of white takes me as well. Epilogue. The searing pain forces my mind awake. My head throbs as my lids flutter open, eyes only finding the dark. The stench of vomit and urine fills my nose. My throat burns as I choke. I try to rise to my feet, but the moment I shift, I trip over chains. What in Oya's name? I wince, tumbling to the wooden floor. Thick metal, unlike any I've encountered before, binds my ankles and wrists. The chains rattle through the silence as I struggle to break their hold. It takes a few moments before my mind returns to the cloud of white. The gas knocked me unconscious before I even hit the ground. My heart stops as the realization sets in. I didn't get him. We didn't win. No! I shout, banging my fists against the wooden wall. My breaths hitch as I try to smash the chains binding me apart, desperate to break free.
We had them. I had them. Yet the monarchy stole the victory right out of our hands. Somehow they've captured us. And I have no idea where they are taking us now. Inan! I roar, though I don't know if he's close. I look around me, trying to see who surrounds me through the darkness. Dozens of silhouettes fill the cramped space, linked by the same chains. I think of Mari, Rowan, and Zane. How many of us escaped? How many Magi lie with me in shackles? The floor rocks, and I lift my head to the thin rays of light spilling through the cell. I strain to free my body from its fog. I have to know where he's taking us. Amari stirs as I step over her leg. I perch myself on her side and use her unconscious body to climb upwards. My neck strains as I lift my eyes to the window pane, but the sight makes the world fall away. There are no dirt roads to Lagos's gallows. No charred jackalberry trees. There's no orisha at all. All that surrounds us is open sea. As I stare at the never-ending waves in every direction, a coldness like I've never known freezes me from my core. Someone has stolen us from our land, and I have no idea where we're going. This is Bonnie Turpin. We hope you've enjoyed Children of Virtue and Vengeance, a Macmillan audio production from Henry Holton Company. This program was produced by Maddie Argyropoulos. Recorded by Michael Cox at the Media Staff in Los Angeles. Text copyright 2019 by Tomi Adeyemi. Production copyright 2019 by Macmillan Audio. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.